looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement, and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Live from the Police Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Monday edition, a very busy Monday edition of the Zach Gilb Show across all of the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Well, Rocket can, and producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours, finally could be happy once this football season. The Hot Take Kicky.
Hot Take Kicky.
Brandon Graham from the 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles is going to join us coming up at an hour 20 from now at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, 4:20 p.m. Pacific. And that's where we're going to have to start the show today. We start the show with the Philadelphia Eagles being 3-0. And then also, I got to give a round of applause to the Miami Dolphins, who the Miami Dolphins beat the Pats in week one. Then they're down 35-14 in the fourth quarter against the Baltimore Ravens, who are a damn good team, and they come back and take down the Ravens, and they follow that up. I know they were at home, but you're going up against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, who are just an offensive juggernaut. Everyone's already saying they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, and Miami found a way, even though they had to sweat it out late, they found a way to get the job done. And I was very impressed yesterday, and we know that Dolphins defense is good. They showed it in week one. They didn't show it all that much in week two. But in week three, that Dolphins defense did a kick-ass job in finding a way to really keep the Buffalo Bills out of the end zone. And I was just waiting for the other shoe to fall. I was waiting for Buffalo to win the game. And when you had the safety off the punt that hit in an unfortunate spot, let's just say, for a Dolphins player, I thought for sure Buffalo was going to march right down the field at that point, down 2 points, 19-17, and go kick a field goal by Tyler Bass and go win the game. But it just never clicked. The Buffalo Bills, who are still going to be a damn good team, just couldn't find a way to go make the plays necessary yesterday to go win a football game. And when you get to the Philadelphia Eagles, that wasn't a surprise to me yesterday that the Eagles won. I thought for sure all throughout the week the Eagles were going to win. I just did not know by how many points. And that was a dominant performance by the Philadelphia Eagles, who, could you get a better week than the Eagles from Monday to then Sunday? On Monday Night Football, your defense led by Darius Slay, they find a way to pick off Kirk Cousins all those times on Monday Night Football. And then on Sunday, Brandon Graham leads the way with 2.5 sacks. He had 9 total team sacks on Carson Wentz. And Jalen Hurts just continues to impress week in and week out. And Jalen Hurts is starting to look like a franchise quarterback. I still say he's a very good quarterback, a good quarterback. You got to go make big moments in critical spots this year. But there are not many flaws with the Philadelphia Eagles. That line is awesome. The quarterback's playing phenomenal. Miles Sanders is a good running back. You got Devontae Smith, who's a stud. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, also A.J. Brown. And you look at that defense, Brandon Graham, Hassan Reddick, James Bradberry, or as Mel Reese would call him, James Blackberry. You then have Darius Slay. That's just a kick-ass defense all over the place. And you know what the wild part is? I never thought I was going to say this when he got hired, but it just shows you sometimes you're not familiar with someone. Usually that does evoke a critical emotion and a critical reaction. Nick Sirianni happens to be a damn good football coach. Because Nick Sirianni, he adjusts to the talent around him. And also, in the year of 2022, I don't think the disciplinarian always works. You also, though, can't be the class clown. And there are times where Sirianni does some goofy things, like he's walking into the stadium yesterday with a Mike Quick jersey. You don't see that from a football coach, but he has the respect of the players in the locker room, and the players like a player-friendly coach, and he's hit all the right buttons. So right out of the gate, the two most talked about teams right now are the Philadelphia Eagles and the Miami Dolphins. And it's kind of crazy how many similarities both those teams have. Howie Roseman, I know he won a Super Bowl, but he was at a point where this was put up or shut up. Chris Greer, this was put up or shut up after they got rid of Brian Flores. Both those general managers this offseason had a young quarterback, both who went to Alabama, and both we didn't know what they were going to be. And there's one thing to say, that's our franchise guy, that's our franchise quarterback. And there's another thing to show it by being aggressive in the offseason. And both Miami and Philadelphia, I know Philadelphia made the playoffs last year, Miami didn't. They could have been complacent because the Dolphins got hot down the stretch. They said, no, no, no. We want to see if Tua is a franchise quarterback. We want to see if Jalen Hurts is a franchise quarterback. Both those teams a year ago drafted wide receivers in the first round, Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith. And then the next year, they took that next step and not just being satisfied, because both Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle on most teams are number one wide receivers, but they were aggressive in pulling off trades to go acquire A.J. Brown to Philly and then Tyreek Hill to the Miami Dolphins. And you have two coaches as well, and Mike McDaniel and Nick Sirianni, who neither were popular hires, and both say some wacky, funky things to the media, and both are acquired taste. But look at Mike McDaniel. First three games in, he beat Bill Belichick, then beat John Harbaugh, and yesterday beat Sean McDermott. Those are three top 10 coaches in the National Football League. And Nick Sirianni got some respect last year after those crazy flower comments that he was making in the analogy. Everyone thought he was going to get run out of town, be one and done. And then Nick Sirianni gets that team to the playoffs, 9-8. Finally did elect to run the football. And not only that, Nick Sirianni now has a team that's 3-0 in a weak NFC where the sky's the limit. So it just shows you when you have a young quarterback that you need to put your young quarterback in a position to succeed. Because so many times, organizations have a young quarterback and they fail that young quarterback. I know the Bears are 2-1 and there's concerns with Justin Fields individually. Is he good enough at the quarterback position? I think it's still too early to tell. But you look at someone like Justin Fields, I know that they're 2-1, the Bears right now, but that team doesn't have a lot of talent around him. Like, you look at a team like the Indianapolis Colts, when they had Andrew Luck, they didn't do a good job in getting enough talent around Andrew Luck and protecting their franchise quarterback. Both Philadelphia and Miami made the moves necessary to give their young quarterback a shot. And so far, that investment is paying off because the Dolphins are 3-0. The Eagles are 3-0. There's a belief now in Tua. There's a belief now in Jalen Hurts. And now people are wondering, how good can the Philadelphia Eagles be? And how good can the Miami Dolphins be? I was skeptical if the Miami Dolphins were going to make the playoffs this year. If they don't make the playoffs now this year, then it's a failure of a season and it's a disaster of a season. But what I've seen so far through the first 3 weeks, they should be a playoff team. You have a good defense that knows how to create turnovers. You have an offense that has a ton of speed with Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. You have a quarterback who is now making the throws and has displayed some toughness. And that's a Dolphins team where when you look around the AFC after you just beat Buffalo, the Ravens, and the Pats, I know the Pats are going to be having a down year. Those are three impressive wins. That's a way to set a tone. So through the first 3 weeks of the season, yeah, the Miami Dolphins, who needed to earn my trust, well, they now have my trust. I'm not telling you that they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I'm not telling you that they're even going to win the division because I still think Buffalo will win this division. But I would be shocked when it comes January if now the Miami Dolphins aren't a wild card team because they should be a wild card team. They have a talented enough roster. We wonder if there would be a regression on defense if Brian Flores is no longer there. They have a talented enough roster and a well-rounded roster where if that team doesn't make the playoffs now, it's an unmitigated disaster. And then you look at the Eagles. I was leading the Eagles hype train. I had the Eagles winning the division right at the draft in Las Vegas when they made that move, that aggressive move, that win now move for A.J. Brown. I'm not putting a limit on the Eagles this year. They're going to win that NFC East. I know the Giants play tonight. They're 2-0. I don't think the Giants are making the playoffs this year. Dallas, I don't trust the drama. Dallas choking Cowboys. The Commanders, you have Carson Wentz. All those Commanders fans last week telling me, oh, we got our quarterback. We got our guy. What are the excuses going to be this week? Are you going to blame the offensive line? You could. But Carson held on to that football way too long at times. So congratulations getting your week one victory against the Jaguars, who are starting to look like a good team, but you just lost the Lions and you lost the Eagles. And Carson Wentz is not all that. But anyway, you see this Eagles team, they will easily win the NFC East this year. They could have one of the better rosters in the entire NFL. They have a top five roster in football. And that's not caught up in the moment. That's not hyperbole. The Eagles have a top five roster in the NFL. The offensive line is one of the best in the league. The quarterback is playing like a top 10 quarterback right now. You have a good enough run game. You have two stud wide receivers. You have a defense that's elite in the secondary and just has so much depth across that defensive line. You have a good coach and a good general manager. And you have an owner that will do whatever it takes to go win another championship. So I will not limit the Eagles this year. The Eagles will win the NFC East. And I don't know how many playoff games the Eagles could win, but if you tell me the Eagles in the Super Bowl this year, 3 weeks in, it would not shock me. It would not shock me whatsoever, because what else does the NFC have to offer? I still think Tampa will be fine. I still have a lot of belief in Tampa Bay. I know they lost yesterday, but they had no wide receivers. Green Bay will find a way to go win double-digit games. They're going to have to rely on, really, their two running backs in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Matthew Stafford has not played a great game yet for the Rams, and they're still 2-1. But you go through this NFC, 49ers, Jimmy G looked awful the other night. Arizona, I can't trust them. And we'll see what happens if that team could take off when DeAndre Hopkins gets back. But you go around this entire NFC, there's just not a lot of teams that you go, okay, they could go to the Super Bowl. The Eagles are one of those teams that could go to the Super Bowl. So what are your expectations the rest of the way for the Dolphins and the Eagles? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. For the Dolphins, I fully now expect them to make the playoffs. I'm not telling you they're going to win the AFC East, but they should be bare minimum wild card team. For the Eagles, at this rate, just winning the NFC East is not enough. NFC East, championship crown, win a playoff game. But that's a group that looks like they could win multiple playoff games this year. And that says a lot to the growth of Jalen Hurts and also the investment that the Eagles placed into him and that team this past offseason. Hickey, where are you at right now? We'll get into your football team later as they stunned America taking down the Kansas City Chiefs. My football team, yikes, it's getting ugly. I told you this was not going to be a good season, but this is getting ugly, and it's getting ugly quickly. But when you look at the Dolphins and the Eagles, what are your expectations the rest of the way for both those teams?
Dolphins, I'm with you, playoffs. This team, I did not pick them to make the playoffs going into the year, and so far, Tua looks to be the guy.
Oh, you didn't pick them to make the playoffs?
No.
For some reason, I thought you picked them to make the playoffs. Okay.
No, yeah.
Because I know you've been a big Tua fan. Tua-non.
I was part of the Tua-non for sure. I thought Tua would prove he would be the franchise guy going forward, but I did not really kind of trust everything coming together around him to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I've switched on that 3 weeks in.
And I don't like this game Thursday night for them, going to Cincinnati in a short week after you just had these back-to-back emotional victories. But after that, they don't have a tough schedule. Jets, Minnesota solid, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Chicago, Cleveland, no Watson. You play the Texans, San Francisco, and then it picks up a little bit down the stretch. Chargers, Buffalo, Green Bay. Then you play New England and the Jets to end out the year. That should be enough to get 10-11 wins. Especially when you start off 3-0. It's not like you dig yourself out of a hole.
Right.
You're playing ahead of the game now.
Tough, yeah, three-game stretch there at the end before you kind of finish off with who knows if the Patriots will be in the Jets. But, yeah, that's a pretty good schedule. Where did they finish? Third place last year, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a
Patriots
nice
were 10-7, and the Buffalo Bills made the playoffs as the AFC's champions. And I'll tell you this, with my football team this year, I'm going to be screaming to tank at the end of the year.
Already?
Oh, yeah, this season's
over.
Or
just if this continues.
They're not going to be a good football. They're not going to be playing a football team. I told you that before the year, the Patriots. So
what are you saying? It's still like 9-8, 8-9, backing off that?
Well, I said 9-8. I'll give you a number later on in the show.
Okay.
But they need some speed. Like, I look at the Eagles. I look at the Dolphins. They're putting their, and I think Mac Jones is good. They're putting their young quarterback in a position to succeed. The Patriots haven't done that. I know Jacoby Myers was hurt yesterday, but he's not a number one. Devontae Parker was solid yesterday, but he's not a number one. There's no Tyreek Hill. There's no Jalen Waddle. There's no Devontae Smith. There's no A.J. Brown on the New England Patriots. So go get like a top 10 draft pick and get me one of those speedsters or get me one of those receivers from Ohio State.
Add Addison. I'm trying to think here.
Oh,
like some
from
some,
USC.
Yeah, some like good play.
I don't need no
here.
Fancy slogan. Just get a bleeping wide receiver. Okay? So the Dolphins, you're with me. Just make the playoffs.
Yes.
And it's a successful season, I would agree. How about the Eagles at this rate? Feels like they got to win a playoff game now.
At this rate, with how they're playing and the state of the NFC, I'm with you. Like, winning the division now is no longer just good enough. You have to win the division, win a playoff game, and who knows? Like, maybe be competitive in that second-round game, whether it's against the Bucs, the
Packers,
the
Rams. But if they're in the Super Bowl, that would not shock you. Like, I still think Tampa's going to the Super Bowl. But you haven't really seen much of anything from the rest of the NFC that makes you say when you look at the entire NFC, that fourth team and we get into the year of who could emerge. Philadelphia is the fourth team, and I said this last week, I'll say it again. They're not looking like the fourth team there. Before the year started, we said, okay, Green Bay, the Rams, and the Buccaneers, one of those three teams will go to the Super Bowl. Who could emerge as the fourth team? Philadelphia is not only emerges the fourth team, they're looking better. They're looking like right now the best team in the NFC. That doesn't mean they're going to go to the Super Bowl, but you would not be stunned with what we've seen through the first 3 weeks if we're out in Arizona and the Eagles in the game.
I would still be surprised.
But
I know
you wouldn't
it's still
shocked.
Early. I would still be shocked.
Really?
I think the Rams will get better. I think the Bucs will kick it into gear once they're healthy. Honestly, you know me. I'm not high on the Packers, and I don't think the Packers are a true Super Bowl contender. I think by the end of the year, the Packers rules, I would still say have a better chance of making the Super Bowl than the Eagles.
Well, we'll see. Because right now, nothing could go wrong with Philadelphia. And that's also when this team hits some adversity. Because there will be a point where they hit some adversity. How quickly are they able to flush it? And last year, they got off to a slow start, and they were able to flush it, and they found a way to make the playoffs, get it at 9-8. And this team, they have a whole lot of talent this year. So what are your expectations the rest of the way for the Eagles and the Dolphins? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, on Twitter and Instagram. When we come on back, Bills lose to the Dolphins yesterday. Somehow, some way, the Indianapolis Colts defeated the Kansas City Chiefs. Is there any concern with the Bills and the Chiefs, who we thought headed into the weekend were the two best teams in the AFC?
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement, and why black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Looking for stories about the black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement, and why black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Looking for stories about the black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement, and why black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Hickey, you want to know why I love Twitter? You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. A buddy of mine just sent me this tweet. And it says, I guess it's someone saying how people were doubting the Eagles and the Dolphins. And it says, this is 100% true. Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio last night, dude had the audacity to say, which is a word that I would use, both 3-0 teams were frauds because he wasn't convinced they could ever be good. He kept saying no reasoning behind it, just the feeling that Hurts and Tua are not ever going to be great. What did we just lead the show with today? How Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins are going to make the playoffs, and how Jalen Hurts and the Eagles could go to the Super Bowl. But last night, supposedly, I was on CBS Sports Radio criticizing Tua and Hurts, where since the draft, I've told you the Eagles would win the division. Now, I'll fully admit, I did not expect the Dolphins to make the playoffs this year, but I would have never said last night that the Miami Dolphins weren't going to make the playoffs, and then today get on the air and go, oh, yeah, they're making the playoffs. So I guess this is just a thought here, Hickey. Maybe that was Jody Mack. I was on Eye on Football yesterday for 8 hours. Maybe the schedule wouldn't surprise me with our company not updated. And just maybe for Jody Mack's show, it still shows my face, and then all the takes by Jody Mack are then associated and thought of to me.
Wow. Jody. If I was Jody, I'm just letting Jody know. And next week, he's just firing off takes left and right.
But here's the thing. I did the final 2 hours of Eye on Football with Jody yesterday. I don't know if that's Jody, because Jody, when he looks at the Philadelphia Eagles, I thought was pretty optimistic about them entering the season. And he does all those shows in Philadelphia, and he was giving the Dolphins a lot of praise yesterday when we were talking about them. So I don't know where the heck that could possibly be from.
Did you say anything slanderous maybe about the Dolphins that you just don't remember?
No. We had River on yesterday.
Oh, Craycraft.
Yeah, we had him on. I talked about how great of a conversation it was and how the Dolphins had 3 really good wins to start out the season. So I don't know where that could be coming from. I always love those takes that people go, oh, I can't believe this guy said this, and they have you by name, and then you actually never said any of that.
Maybe you were on a local station, then they moved to local programming, and then that person was saying Eagles are frauds and the Dolphins are not very good.
Yeah, no, that was not me. So now I feel compelled to respond to that tweet just to clear my name. Now, I can't have people having me say that I said things that I've never said.
Now I'm dying to know who said them.
Yeah.
Where is this guy listening?
We need to launch an internal investigation here at CBS Sports Radio to see who's trying to sabotage my good name, or somewhat my good name. Anyway, I got to give credit to your boys yesterday. Now, don't get me wrong. Kansas City gave you every opportunity to go win the game. It was almost as if the Kansas City Chiefs plus the points yesterday when everyone had them as a 5.5-point underdog. Now, I know that kicker who ended up getting cut today, they terminated his practice squad contract after you had the whole Bucker injury. So Amendola was kicking. He was brutal. He missed that chip shot. They also ran that fake field goal as well. objectively, and I know you have a Colts shirt on, so I can't say take off the Colts shirt right now because, no offense, I don't want to see your body. Even though when you did rip off your shirt inside the CBS Sports Radio studios after your push-ups, people were commenting how good of shape you were in. But I think for everyone's sanity here, we could keep your shirt on. Yesterday, good win for the Colts. And you give them credit, but it does seem like Kansas City blew that game yesterday.
Keeping my shirt on, like you said, I will say this. I think in the end, the Colts won the game.
Take the Colts cap off, I guess we could go with.
In the sense that it's one thing to get breaks, which they did. The Chiefs played their worst game we've seen from them in a very long time, especially this season at least. With that said, you have to do something with the breaks you get. You get a fumble at the 4-yard line, the Colts got a touchdown, congrats to them. You get a very questionable penalty on Chris Jones. To their credit, the Colts capitalized, scored a touchdown, and they intercepted Patrick Mahomes 24 seconds left to steal the win. They made the plays to win the game. Now, with that said, for three quarters, the Colts played awful football, and the Chiefs were just as bad. So it was an ugly game, and there's still a lot of negatives with the Colts.
I give the Colts defense credit yesterday.
Yes, they played great.
Defense finally showed up.
Yes.
After getting embarrassed by Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars getting blanked 24-0. Defense showed up. Game number one, we know the defense was not spectacular against the Texans when you allow the Texans to have an anemic offense get out to that 20-3 lead. But that defense, without Shaq Leonard still, who should change his name back to Darius Leonard, because Darius Leonard got on the field a little bit more than Shaq Leonard. But your team yesterday, I don't want to say, well, it is a great win, but I do look at that game, and you're right, they did take advantage. I thought there was multiple times that Kansas City could have put away, but they didn't. And you know what? A team like Indianapolis or any team in the league, when you were the better team, when you were the superior team like the Chiefs are, and you let that team hang around, eventually they're going to find a way to convert a play and take advantage of your incompetence and your misfortunes. And that's what the Colts did yesterday. Isn't that wild? Last week, we were trashing the AFC South all throughout the week, and deservedly so. It was a horrible week. Tennessee beats the Raiders. Jaguars crush the Chargers. The Texans lose, but that's not surprising. But they didn't get embarrassed. And they lose by 3 points. I know it's the Bears. And then your team beats Kansas City. It's amazing how you guys couldn't beat Jacksonville. And then week one, you tie with the Texans. But then the Chiefs, who are a top two team in the AFC entering the week, you beat them. Football's drunk.
I was
only 3 weeks in. Football
isn't that the
is
NFL?
Drunk.
That is just the NFL in a nutshell. Parody.
We are all wasted when we watch this sport, and the actual sport is wasted as well. Now, how about the Chiefs and then also the Bills? The Bills lose yesterday to the Miami Dolphins, and that was like another game where I thought the Bills were going to win all throughout. Dolphins then get that lead. Tua made a great throw on 3rd and 22 to Jaylen Waddle. Tough, too, when he was dealing with what we thought was a concussion and told the back injury, but still may be a concussion. But he was in the game, didn't miss that much time, delivers a sick throw to Jaylen Waddle. And you could shut up about the arm strength concerns about Tua and all that. He's shut a lot of people up the first 3 weeks of the season. Then you hit River for the score. Even didn't you think Miami was going to melt down after, what do you call it, the butt punt, I guess is what we could call it? Sanchez has the butt fumble. Then the Dolphins punter had the butt punt. You saw Jimmy G pulling Orlovsky last night on Sunday Night Football. It was a wild, wild, wild weekend of NFL football. But when they get that safety, Miami, and it's a two-point game, everyone in America is thinking, okay, you leave the door open for Josh Allen, they're going to march down the field, and they're going to find a way to go kick the game-winning field goal. It would be crazy not to think that, Rye.
Especially with the time left, I think it was like a minute 12, so there's plenty of time. You know, they had no timeouts. You need a field goal to win the game. They moved the ball up and down the field all game long. It wasn't like they were struggling moving the ball. You're right. Just how much time is going to be left, and where is the field goal going to be from?
Yeah. So now, after 3 weeks, is there any concern with Buffalo or Kansas City? Do you rethink Buffalo and Kansas City? Personally, I don't, just because, yes, the Dolphins are good. I think the Dolphins will make the playoffs. I don't think the Dolphins, though, are going to go to a Super Bowl this year. I still look at the Bills and the Chiefs as the two best teams in the AFC.
Agreed. One thing I want to bring up that I'm interested to hear your thoughts on. I am concerned about the workload on Josh Allen when it comes to running the ball.
Well, they got to get more from Devin Singletary and James Cook needs to hang on to the football.
Leading rusher again yesterday in terms of yards and attempts, and I think the attempts is even scarier than the yards itself.
Second most attempts. You're asking to get hurt with that much exposure.
I agree. I'm not sure if being sensitive because of, you know, Andrew Luck's wear down, but it's like...
Well, that's a conversation all the time with Lamar Jackson. So it should be the same conversation with Josh Allen.
Yeah.
They're asking too much out of him. Now, he's a great quarterback. He's a franchise quarterback. You got two dominant receivers. They got to get something out of this run game other than Josh Allen because this is not a sprint. It is a marathon. And if you're running your horse into the ground over and over and over again, eventually the horse is going to suffer an injury, and which would be awful because the Bills have all the talent in the world to go make a Super Bowl run. And Kansas City, I don't want to say their defense is great, but their defense is good enough to win a championship this year. That's what they showed me through the first 3 weeks of this NFL season. And I know the offense just didn't find a way to catch the football in enough times, and you had a bunch of special teams issues yesterday. I still think these are the two best teams. The two best teams in the AFC are still the Bills and the Chiefs, even though they both lost yesterday. Because the AFC West may not be as great as we thought it was going to be. The South's only going to have one playoff team. The Ravens are looking really good. We'll see if the Browns can weather the storm. The Bengals bounced back yesterday. Buffalo's still going to be really good. Miami's been a surprise team. We went into this year talking about how deep the AFC was. The AFC still is going to have a lot of tough teams. I don't know how many great teams there are, though, in the AFC. And I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Not that you want a loss. There's never a good time for a loss. But Kansas City and Buffalo kind of resets after all the praise that they got the first 2 weeks. And now they'll finally get some criticism, and we'll see how that bounce back. But excellent point on Josh Allen. It may not catch up to you this year. Even if you get lucky, it will eventually catch up to you. Like, I know that they could protect Josh Allen. That's not an issue, but look at Joe Burrow. First year torn ACL. Last year got the snot kicked out of him. Almost won a Super Bowl, and through the first 3 weeks of the season, that offensive line hasn't protected him, and they were lucky to play the Jets yesterday. By the way, Marco, you are really my lifeline here at CBS Sports Radio these days. El Capitan, you are the person that we go to for guidance and advice. You are the leader here at CBS Sports Radio.
All right.
I'm in a survivor pool.
Oh, boy.
With my best friend. We share an entry into the survivor pool. My best friend is a big-time Jets fan.
Okay.
Before we made our selections yesterday, or selection, he said, who should we pick? And I said, Cincinnati. And he goes, Jets win. Bengals not looking good. He goes, I don't think the Jets are that good, but I don't love picking against the Jets this week because they had that crazy win, and everyone thinks Cincinnati's going to win. So I said, okay, who do you think we should go with? And he goes, Kansas City. And I said to him, I go, I think Kansas City will win, but if you ask me who has a better chance of winning,
mm-hmm.
I would say it's the Colts over the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this was me being a nice guy. If I was on the radio, I would have definitely stuck to my guns and would have told him to shut up and never call me again. But he got his way, my best friend, and he ended up taking the Kansas City Chiefs. And now we are out of the survivor pool. It's my best friend, but that's tough moving forward. I don't know if I could ever look at him the same.
Here's the problem with
30 years of friendship flushed down the drain.
Here's your problem.
And you know what I said to him? I said, the Jets have screwed you over for 30 years. I said this before the game, and you still have confidence in the Jets.
That's the thing. It almost makes me curious about his fandom.
Mm-hmm.
Real Jet fans should have known they were losing that game yesterday.
Yeah. And he's not a dumb sports fan.
But that's what I mean.
Like,
they had to know. They had to know. Now, my brother's actually a big Jet fan, and I was watching the game with him. When I got there, and I was kind of like, how do you feel? He's like, they're going to get killed. He's like, they're going to get killed. He's like, there's nothing. They're not going to be able to control the line of scrimmage. He's like, the only hope is if they can get pressure on Burrow, and maybe they could figure it out. Within 5 minutes of the game being kicked off, which anyone could tell, he's like, this game's over. They can't control the line of scrimmage.
Well, I think I am, even though this is an oxymoron, I think I'm an objective fan. Like, I said to him to try to reason, I go, if you tell me we're picking the Ravens this week, I go, it could be a close game.
Right.
But the Ravens are definitely going to beat the Patriots. And I was trying to reason with him, like, not to take the Chiefs up against the Colts because the Bengals were a lock. They're 0-2. Yeah. And the Jets got a win that they've never won the week before.
Yeah, again, that would have been a good...
I think it could be an end to friendship.
I would say this. I give you credit that you would have gone on the limb, because that's not a pick that I think a lot of people had yesterday, was the Bengals. I really don't think so. People are always afraid on the road, playing a team
really?
That had momentum.
That's not on the limb?
Yeah, believe it or
come
not.
Come on, it's the Jets.
Do you ever talk to people with survivor pools? Everything you always hear, well, I don't want the road team. I don't want the team that won last week. If anything, you actually should go against that. The road team means nothing at this point anymore.
Well, how many road favorites are
unless you're, you know, really good game. And the team that just won last week, good chance you probably take them this week, because it seems like no one has any consistency. And week to week, it's something different. So, it's a bad job out of your buddy. And like I said, being a Jet fan, he should have known better. Exactly. He should have known the Jets were completely out of their realm and the Bengals were going to wind up at 0-2. I found it hard to believe that Cincinnati was not going to win that game yesterday.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We'll recap Rodgers against Brady as the Packers just survived.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, a hot take kicky. I got to give credit to our guy, Adam Ritchie, 1999, on Twitter. The first guy to ever call you hot take kicky when you were hosting your radio program. I created the nickname, but then I told him to go call, or I just told the listening audience to go call you when you did your hot take hickey show, or excuse me, what is it called? The Ryan Hickey Show on CBS Sports Radio?
The Ryan Hickey Show is very simple, very original.
I can't criticize it. We call ourselves the Zach Gelb Show here on CBS Sports Radio. But Adam is a loyal listener, and we always appreciate him. He makes a good point. It can't be Jody Mackman, who I'm being accused today by someone that I've been trashing the Eagles and Jalen Hurts the entire year when I picked them to win the NFC East. Going back to Las Vegas, at the draft in Las Vegas. And then, I was critical of the Dolphins, but I never was critical of them yesterday, which was crazy. So someone said they listened to CBS Sports Radio, and I was saying that they're fraud 3-0 teams, which was a complete antithesis of how I led the show today. It can't be Jody, according to Adam. And Adam's 100% right on this. You know, Jody Mackman placed a bet before the year started for the Dolphins to be in the Super Bowl, the Eagles to be in the Super Bowl, and then a ticket for the Dolphins to play the Eagles in the Super Bowl. So Jody's been a believer in the Dolphins, and he's a big Tua fan, and Jody's also been a believer in the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm trying to figure out who else was on CBS Sports. Was it Gresh? Are people confusing me and Gresh just because we're two big fellas? Is that what's going on here? Or was it someone, a local affiliate, that went to local programming and it still said the Zach Gelb Show was on because I do Eye on Football?
I think that's probably the biggest culprit, because after you, Jody, then it's too far gone from when you've been on the air.
Now, I love Gresh. And Gresh doesn't seem like an idiot to me that would make those kind of claims. And he's a football guy. He played football with, right, Rhode Island?
I believe you're right.
So I don't think that would be Gresh, but I could see people saying, oh, it's a G, he's big, Gelb's big. Maybe that it was just Zach Gelb. And now I have to be held accountable for all of Andy Gresh's takes.
2 hours is a long time. Long time between when you're on the air
I love
and
you,
Gresh comes on.
But you screen a lot of phone calls here. You've talked to some people that
yes.
call in. sometimes they're not the always most sane people, let's just say.
You'd think common sense would prevail for that long of a time period. Oh, Zach was on at 8,
also,
not at 10.
It's a football Sunday. That person could be well lost in the bag at that point.
Good for them.
Maybe they were thinking they were listening to me still, even when I was off the air for 4 or 5 hours. Who knows?
Potentially.
From Rodgers and Brady yesterday, I thought for sure Tampa was sending that game into overtime when Brady and company found a way to get the ball to Russell Gage for that touchdown. The two-point conversion, what did you make of that? Now, Brady, a lot of times, even going back to the early 2000s, Kevin Falk direct snap in the Super Bowl. I think it was James White who had a two-point conversion as well, the 28-3 comeback. They like to run the ball. Brady then was in New England, but based on his offense in Tampa, they are not afraid to run the football and take the ball out of Brady's hands when needing a two-point conversion. And that's what they were trying to do when they cut it to two. They get called for a delay of game, but the play was a handoff to Leonard Fournette to bulldoze his way in from 2 yards out. I was shocked that there was a delay of game in that spot. I could not. With Brady as your quarterback, you just get the lead? How the heck is there a delay of game?
I don't know what they were doing, because it wasn't like you have to decide, oh, do we go for two or not, because you knew as soon as you got a touchdown, we have to go for two.
Was it a long play call? Long time figuring out what Byron Leftwich was going to do? Maybe some
indecision?
Maybe Brady and him had a little disagreement. I don't know.
And,
Brady afterwards just said they had, just have to execute better. That was it. So he gave you nothing.
A lot of new faces on the offensive line, receivers. I wonder if it's getting lined up, make sure everyone's on the same page. Like, that's one of those things where it takes longer to make sure everyone's good to go compared to if it's the normal Evans, Godwin, Julio Jones trio.
Well, Brady knew that the clock was winding down because you saw Brady clap to snap the ball, and the snap did not go on the first clap by Tom Brady. So maybe that's what it was. It was a miscommunication, but still, you're living on the edge there with 1 second left in the play clock.
Unacceptable.
We're talking about. I still walk away from that game, though, thinking Tampa's a better team than Green Bay. Now, I know Green Bay wasn't fully healthy either. Sammy Watkins done. No Christian Watson in that game. But to not have Mike Evans, Julio Jones, and Chris Godwin, to not have your top three wide receivers, and all those injuries on the offensive line, I know Green Bay's been banged up in the O-line all throughout the season as well. If Green Bay didn't win that game, then it would be really alarming for someone that believes Green Bay can go to a Super Bowl. It would be really alarming if Green Bay, with how many times they've lost to Brady, how many times they lost to Tampa, even going back to Brady's days, you know, in that game on, I was there Sunday Night Football, Patriots and the Packers, if they couldn't win yesterday's game, that would have been a big-time problem. Especially when all the guys that were questionable, I know Evans was suspended, but and Godwin's expected to play, but you at least thought you get Julio to play, and that wasn't the case.
It's just, yeah, it's very frustrating if you're a Packers fan, because, I mean, that game was 14-6 for a long, like, Aaron Rodgers had plenty of opportunities to expand the lead and end the game.
Yeah.
And it's taking a sack, missing a throw. The run game did not get going whatsoever. No, the Buccaneers are a good defense, but still, I mean, you got to make one play. Couldn't do it.
I know Tampa has a great run defense, and also you had the fumble where Vita Vea drops into coverage. Levante David hits him, and then Vita Vea sandwiches him. So that lead could have expanded, right? They could have found a way to get a touchdown there, and they fumbled the ball, but then the Bucs turned over the ball, I think, right before, again, the end of the first half, that sequence was. With Green Bay's lack of wide receivers right now, and I know Cobb had 2 for 57 yesterday. You also had a receiver go 8 for 73 as well. And I know you have Alan Lazard on that team, and Rodgers has a lot of trust. They got to run the football more. I know Rodgers is your best player, back-to-back MVP award winner, but Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon are really damn good. I know Tampa's a really good defense, so maybe that's an outlier. But you got to run the football more than 12 times with Aaron Jones and 12 times with A.J. Dillon. And also, real quickly, because I know we're up against it, what the heck was Aaron Rodgers trying to say after the game where he looked up at the Jumbotron and he saw something that the Bucs were doing and then he told Matt LaFleur? You got to tell us what it was.
Was it the play clock? Like going late?
No, I don't think so. I think it was something from a scheme standpoint. I don't know. Maybe Rodgers was on something. Who knows? You always got to wonder now. News brief next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.